We couldn't afford but usually one or at the most two different types of food at every meal in our house when I grew up. It may be a good old pot of red beans with some green onions, and maybe if we had a little extra meal, some cornbread. That would be a meal. It may be that we would open a can of Popeye spinach. That's the thing to which I attribute my amazing physique to this day. And I say that with all the humility that I can gather. But I am. And maybe we would open a can of Campbell's chicken soup. And that's what we'd have. But mother would say, son, now you've got to eat your food. Spinach is good for you. I never could understand why everything that was good for you was so lousy to taste. I never understood that. Still have a little hard time understanding it. But occasionally, mother would surprise us. Maybe she'd make some fudge. And I can still see her whipping the fudge. And then maybe one day, if she was a little bit ahead a few pennies financially, maybe she'd make a pie. Do they still put pies out on the windowsill to cool? They still do that? And mother would put the pie on the windowsill to cool. And then I'd watch it to be sure nobody got it. And or maybe she'd make some, we called them tea cakes. I never could understand why they were called tea cakes, tea cookies. But Mom would make some cookies. And I'll tell you what, the greatest taste in the whole world is the taste you get from scraping the pan after Mama's made tea cookies. I used to wonder why she took all that good tasting dough and made a hard cookies out of it. Still wonder. There's sometimes in the life of our church when I want to give you some spinach to eat. Other times I feel like that you ought to eat your beefsteak or maybe give you a little something heavier. And then there are times when I want to give you, maybe have a little taffy pull, or make some popcorn balls, or make some fudge, or make some tea cookies. And this morning's message is one of those. I'm not going to change the course of our country's life this morning, nor am I going to change the course of many of your lives. But I want to just give you something this morning that I think is a sweet and blessed truth that'll be like a, used to call it Polly Pop. They call it Kool-Aid now on a hot summer afternoon. Now, the introduction of my message this morning is longer than the message. And so you'll have to get the introduction carefully in order to get the truth. But I want to leave you after a while one of the sweetest little truths you ever saw in your life from our Father in heaven who loves us very, very much. The beloved John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for the word of the Lord and for his testimony for Christ. And God looked down and saw John on the Isle of Patmos, and God said, John, since you don't have anything else to do, let me show you some home movies. About my home, John. And so John sat down and God turned on the projector and began to roll, and John sees unbelievable things. He sees the first resurrection. He sees the dead in Christ rise from the grave. And God said, John, that's going to happen one of these days just like you see it. Then he sees the rapture, the snatching away of the people of God. He sees all the redeemed at the rapture, at the trump of God, and the voice of the archangel rising up in the air to meet the Lord Jesus. On these whole movies, God shows John the judgment seat of Christ. He sees that time when Jesus shall bring all of our works before His judgment seat and shall give us rewards according to our labors on earth. There'll be some rewards given for soul winning. There'll be some rewards given for faithfulness. Some rewards given for persecution and suffering. Some given for loyalty to the things of God. The Bible says at the judgment seat of Christ that God is going to give us these crowns. And John saw that marvelous picture. Then John saw us in preview taking off our crowns and throwing them at Jesus' feet. And John hears us as we will sing someday, blessing and honor and power and majesty be unto Him, for worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. And we're not worthy, we'll say. And John saw us do that. He saw in prophecy, he saw in preview the marvelous judgment seat of Christ. And then the reel continues to go. And John saw the marriage of the Lamb, when our lovely bridegroom shall take us to Himself. And we shall be dressed in white. White linen, representing the righteousness of Jesus Christ in which we're dressed today if we've been saved. And John saw that amazing. He saw the marriage supper of the Lamb. When we eat, somebody said with a hound, will we eat in heaven? And you've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. I mean, brother, it wouldn't be heaven if we couldn't eat. Ask Steve Huckins about that. I mean, no way. Of course we will. I mean, you'll come and have a little sign there on the side, and it says sugar-free banana pudding. Yeah. The calorie, a pecan pie, 1 calorie. Yeah. In those days, won't be any fat people. Everybody will be built just like me. And so John saw that. My, I bet John said, boy, I sure am glad I got exiled. I see John one day. I said, John, you don't lonely out here? He said, no, not at all. Well, who's out here besides you? Oh, he said, be surprised. Well, who have you seen? I've seen graves open. I've seen the rapture. John, you've got problems. It's getting to you. God said, roll it again. And so John sees the redeemed in heaven. And then God says, John, come up here now. There's something going to happen down on earth I don't want you to have to mess with. Every once in a while, I hear somebody talk about this post-tribulation rapture. That silliest bunch of garbage I ever heard of in my life. You think God's going to let His children go through the great tribulation period? No, he said, John, come on up here. I want to show you something, but don't want you to see it up close, because you might get singed for the fire. He said, come on up here. I want you to see something. And so John goes up in there, and God said, I want you to see what's going to happen on the earth. And God shows John the opening of the 7 seals and the 7 vials and the plagues of Revelation. And God so shows John the great end-time battle when Russia shall march on Palestine and Turkey and Egypt and Eastern Germany and Iran and Libya and other countries with her. And John saw that battle actually in preview. He saw it. He saw how that the United States and Germany, I'm sorry, Western Germany and Western Europe shall come to defend Palestine from the Red Menace. And he saw how that China will come and join up with Russia in the great end-time battle. And he saw the Antichrist in chapter 13 as he rises up and as he enters into battle against Russia. And John saw all of that. And God said, I've got more for you to see, John. John then saw the great second coming of Christ to the earth. That's not the rapture. The rapture is we're caught up to meet the Lord. The second coming of Christ to the earth takes place 7 years after the rapture. When Jesus shall come back to earth, he who was dishonored shall be honored. He who was hated shall be loved. He who was abased shall be praised. He who rode a donkey shall come on a white stallion.
He who had a crown of thorns shall have a crown of glory. He who had a scepter of a borrowed walking stick shall have a royal scepter. He who had a borrowed soldier's overcoat shall have a royal robe as he rules and reigns and comes back to earth on a white. And John saw that. And Jesus said, now, John, are you out here by yourself? I want to show you some more. He said, I want to show you how that all the saints of God will come back with you, all riding on white horses. And don't forget that little time there, white horses. I'm going to come back to that after a while. And he saw all of that. And he said, John, I want you to see this great millennium. Ah, he said, John, for 1,000 years I'm going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. For 1,000 years men shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. For 1,000 years, he said, there'll be peace on earth, and the knowledge of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. He said, for 1,000 years, every king of every country shall be not only a born-again believer, but a separated born-again believer. He said, for 1,000 years, the people of God shall rule and reign this earth. And he says, John, look at that. My soul, John, saw the great millennial kingdom. When lions and wild animals shall be tamed, little boys and girls shall have lions and tigers for Christmas presents and pets in the house. And right now, no, sir, no way, no way. And by the way, in those days, the serpentine venom of the snake will be made powerless, and there'll be no chill of the autumn. There'll be no chill of the winter blast. There'll be no snow on earth, and there'll be no thorns on the roses, and there'll be no cyanide in the Tylenol, and you won't have any need of Tylenol because you won't have any headaches. And for 1,000 years, God's people shall be in charge. Every school board member will be a separated born-again believer. Every city council member will be a separated born-again believer. Every mayor, every police chief, and every official, the Supreme Court people, will then rule properly for freedom for God's people and for God's schools. John saw that. Then John saw, while he was up there, God said, look at there, John. John saw another resurrection. He saw Al Capone raised from the dead. He saw Adolf Hitler raised from the dead. He saw the bootleggers and the harlots and the pimps and the prostitutes and the thieves and the crooks raised from the dead. And John saw that second resurrection when the people are not saved shall be raised from the dead. And God said, now, John, look at there. That's the great white throne judgment. And John saw every single unsaved person stand before that great white throne judgment and receive degrees of punishment for his sin and his rejected opportunities to receive Christ as Savior. And John saw all of that. And then John saw something else. John looked down and saw those people being cast into hell. And Jesus said, John, don't look at that very long. I got something else I want you to see. And John looked up and said, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And then, may I tell you something real sweet now the introduction is over. John saw something he never thought he'd see. He saw, this won't mean anything to you right now, after a while. John saw the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. Now, wait a minute. It says right there in that one little verse a little while ago, it said, and the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament of the ark of the covenant. Now, wait a minute. That ark had been lost, has been lost for thousands of years. Now, listen carefully. It's a little piece of furniture 3 3/4 feet long, 2 1/4 feet wide, and 2 1/4 feet high. It's not as big as... Not as big as this Lord's Supper table, but it was built along the line of this communion table. And inside that Ark of the Covenant were the tablets of stone on which were written the Ten Commandments. By the way, that's why it was built. That's why it's called the Ark of the Covenant. The commandments were God's covenant with man. And the Ark of the Testament, the testament that God made. And so God made a little house, a little covering, for the Ten Commandments. So God made the Ark of the Covenant, put the Ten Commandments in there, and then put one little pot of manna. Remember that manna that fell from heaven while the Israelites were in the wilderness? Remember every morning, fried okra fell from God out of heaven down on the earth. And those Israelites gathered that fried okra, as it says in the Greek and the Hebrew, gathered that fried okra, and they ate that fried okra for 40 years. And you say, well, how do you know it's fried okra? Ain't nothing else you could eat every day for 40 years and still like it. That's all. So, remember, well, God had a golden pot of that okra, of that manna, and a golden pot of that manna. Now, why was it that way? Why those tablets of stone would remind the people of God constantly that of how they ought to live, and that God had a covenant with man. And then that little golden pot of manna was to remind the people forever how God provided for them when they could not provide for themselves. And then Aaron's rod that budded was there, that little old rod, almond rod, or almond branch, that all of a sudden miraculously, well, it wasn't an almond branch, it even became that. Aaron's rod became a bud, almond branch, and God said, put that in there. Now follow me. He said, put the tablets of stone to remind you how to live. He said, put the golden pot of manna to remind you of how good God has been. Then he said, put that old stick that budded and to remind you that someday God's people are going to get resurrected from the grave. And anyway, there it was. Now, wait a minute. That little, don't leave me now, because I want to tell you something after a while that you're going to enjoy. If I don't hurry, it may be tonight before I get to it, but I'm going to get to it. This little Ark of the Covenant was always out in front of the Jews. When they walked through the wilderness, they carried the Ark of the Covenant first. God's glory was always over that Ark of the Covenant, the Shekinah glory representing the presence of God. When they went down into the Jordan River, the Ark of the Covenant went down the Jordan first, now follow me, and it got in the middle of the Jordan, and it stopped there. And because the Ark of the Covenant stopped there, then all the people passed over on dry ground, then the Ark was taken back in the front of the people. The Battle of Ai, the reason they lost the Battle of Ai was not because primarily that Achan sinned, because the Battle of Ai was the first time they'd ever gone to battle without the Ark of the Covenant being out in front. And then the Philistines stole the Ark, captured the Ark of the Covenant, kept it for a while. David brought it back, and you recall that happy time that David had when he brought it back. And then later on, because of sin, the Israelites went into 70 years of captivity. We talk about that often here. That little 70-year period we mentioned in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Now, Nebuchadnezzar came, destroyed the temple, destroyed the walls, destroyed the city, and nothing has ever been seen of that Ark of the Covenant since that day. And the Jews, to this day, wonder where the Ark of the Covenant is. Jeremiah was the only one of the prophets that even mentioned anything about it, because the Jews didn't know where it was. 70 years while they're in Babylon, they didn't have it. They came back, rebuilt the temple, but the Ark of the Covenant was not there. Where is it? No Jews ever known. They wondered where it was. And now John, in Revelation, John on the Isle of Patmos, God says, John, I want to show you something. I want to show you all the great glories of the future. And then John looks at it, good night, there is the Ark of the Covenant. You know why it was there? I know why it was there. God took it to heaven. You know why? Because God doesn't want us to feel like strangers when we get to heaven. You're going to be surprised you get the glory. I fully expect to see Mama's red chair. God took one piece of furniture to heaven, he could dead sure take another. I mean, you know, I do this often, but here's heaven. Holy, 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 holy. That ain't heaven. No, no way. No way. Heaven's as real as this piece of furniture is right here. And the Lord said, I want my folks to be at home when they get up here, so I'm going to have their favorite piece of furniture for them. I get off the airplane so many places across this country, and somebody will meet me at the airport, and the first thing they'll give me is a Reese's peanut butter cup. Yeah. And they'll take me to my room, and there'll be a fruit basket there. And they picked out just the fruit they heard I liked. And they got some Reese's peanut butter cup sprinkled inside. And then I go to church. And by the way, I was down in Georgia, Albany, Georgia, and just about 5 o'clock one afternoon, about time to get ready to think about eating supper, I knocked on the door, a little lady, and she said, "I cooked you something." And it was a big, warm bowl of fried okra. And so I then I'll go to church, and the song leader, maybe Miss Costa, maybe he'll sing. He'll say, "Let's sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." He knows what my favorite song is. I was preaching this week down in for the State Educators Convention down in North Carolina in Raleigh, and a little lady, I got out of the car to go up to speak, and the lady was taking something out of the trunk of her car, and as she saw me walk by, she said, "You're Dr. Jack Hiles, Dr. Hiles." She said, "I've got to shake your hand." She said, "You're my favorite preacher." And I said, "She's an amazing judge of preaching." And she, and so when they introduced me, her husband was the one who introduced me. And she had written a poem about me. And she knew more things about me. I had no idea she knew all that stuff. I said, "How'd you get all that?" And she said, "I called Ms. McKinney and she told me a bunch of stuff. And I want to see you after the service, Ms. McKinney." So often it's that way. Sometimes, occasionally, I've had people sing before I preach. I was up in, Bay City, Michigan, and the choir sang, "Is there a place of refuge? Is there a place of care? Is there a place of comfort? Is there someone to share? Come boldly, come boldly, come boldly to the throne of grace." My song that I wrote on the throne of grace, and they sang it. And while they sang it, all the choir members looking out the corner of their eye to see what I was doing. You know. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever have anybody come to see you and you try to give just what you think they'd like to have? Don't you think the Heavenly Father, when He expects us to come home, don't you think He's going to have a lot of things surprise us with? Oh, my soul, God said, "I am. My children are going to come home. And I want to..." And listen, a lot of Jews, bless their hearts, have been saved. They don't know what I know about the book of Revelation. And they don't know where that Ark of the Covenant is. And when they get to heaven, they're going to look and see that Ark of the Covenant. And God's going to pull out that golden pot of okra and manna. And God's going to pull out Aaron's rod that budded and the tablets of stone. "I dreamed of a place that's called heaven, the home of the pure and the free, the haven of rest for the weary." How beautiful heaven must be. Hey, God's got some surprises for you. I fully expect, Brother John, I fully expect when I get to heaven, this pulpit's going to miss him when I die. You're going to come one of these days and, "Where'd the pulpit go?" Or are you going to throw the pulpit away and say, "We want to forget everything about that old loudmouth fella. And out in the garbage can, and the garbage man will come to get it, it'll be gone." Or you'll burn it and God will put it back together like it was. You can't destroy matter. I fully expect when I get to heaven this pulpit to be there. Almost 24 years, over 23 years, been preaching behind the same pulpit. New building, same pulpit. We just put a new color paint on the outside of it. Same pulpit. Don't you remember when Samuel was in heaven? And remember how when Samuel was a boy, as he grew up to manhood, every year his mother Hannah would come to the temple where Samuel lived. What would she bring to Miss Colson? A little coat, yeah. As he got, every year she brought a coat. Well, Samuel gets big and becomes a fella, 6'2" maybe. And so she has to bring a bigger coat. Recall when Samuel died and went to heaven, that Saul wanted to talk to Samuel. He goes to the witch of Endor and says this witch, she was the original founder of the ERA movement. And he goes to this witch of Endor and says, I want to call up Samuel. I'll talk to Samuel." And the witch of Endor says, "Where won't Samuel go?" And God surprised the fire out of her, and God sent Samuel in. Do you know how they knew it was Samuel? He had that coat on. Huh? Wonder how he got it. "Oh, I think the Lord said Samuel's been wearing a coat like that all these years. I think he said up in heaven." I think when Samuel got to heaven, the Lord, "Samuel, I got some things to show you." And I think he had one gift wrap package and said, "Samuel, open this." And boy, Samuel opened it. You say, "We've got open gifts in heaven?" Let me ask you a question. Is it fun to open gifts? Yes or no? Okay. Is it a sin to open gifts? Yes or no? Well, we're going to open in heaven. It's not a sin and it's fun. Then you think God, I ain't Dr. Rice now.
Somebody said, Dr. Rice, you think we'll know each other in heaven?
Dr. Rice said, do we on earth?
And, yes, we do.
He said, you think I'll be even dumber there than I am now?
I think God had a gift. And I think he said, Samuel, I got something for you. And Samuel, I said, I wonder what it is. And Samuel opened it. And Samuel said, it's my coat. It's the last one Mama made for me. And over there in the corner was Hannah. And she said, son, I told the Lord to do it.
Yeah.
And Samuel said, my coat. And Jonathan, when Samuel was in heaven, and Saul wanted to call him up, they knew it was Samuel because he had that coat on. In Psalm 56:8, it says God has all of our tears bottled up in heaven. You see, Brother Claire, right there, that little teardrop. When it dries, God's going to get it. Well, you say, how does God make liquid out of it? Did you ever drink any orange juice from concentrate? Huh? The bottle up in heaven says, pulpit tears from First Baptist Church, Hammond, 1959 until the old man died. Pulpit tears made from concentrate. Yeah, made from concentrate. Sure, the Bible said the tears. The tears of every little mother that's prayed for a son to grow up in the mouth of something are bottled up and they'll be there in heaven. And the tears of every penitent sinner who came to this altar and knelt here and received Christ as Savior be bottled up in heaven. And the tears of every woman who's prayed for a husband to come back and get right with God, they're bottled up in heaven. And the tears of joy, and the tears of sorrow, and the tears of repentance, and the tears of worship, they're there. And I think we'll go to the tear storage place. And I think we'll get up one of these days all the tears that have been shed at this altar. I was thinking last night after the ordination service, I thought, went to my office, I thought, I could cry anymore. But they're all bottled up in heaven. Well, I know that, you say, well, what do you say? I'm saying heaven's not a place where a bunch of spooks are going to fly around up there, wondering what each other looks like. John said, there's the Ark of the Covenant. Say they have chariots in heaven, have horses. Now, I want to say something I've never said in my life before, and I'm not even sure it's true. But, you know, it sounds good. But you reckon maybe those horses got to come somewhere. You reckon one of these days MacArthur is going to be transported to be with Dr. Rice again? I don't know. But it makes for good preaching. I'm not gonna say this is true, but I want to say to you boys and girls. Now I'm not saying all the good dogs go to heaven and the bad dogs go to hell. But the Bible says without in heaven no dogs. But that's not talking about cocker spaniels. It's talking about schnauzer. But anyway, that's what we have at our house. But not talking about no. That's not talking about. Woof woof dogs. That's talking about the Bible called heathen. The Jews called heathen dogs, Gentile dogs, pagan heathen dogs. I'm not saying that good dogs go to heaven and the bad dogs go to hell. But I tell you, I wouldn't be real surprised, boys and girls, that God has some surprises for you, sort of like that. I'm not sure. We sing a song, and if dogs have a heaven, there's one thing I know. Old Rover is sure there to go. Next Sunday morning, we're going to have a dog baptizing service. Bring old Spot. Now, I don't know. And I'm not going to belabor that, but I want to tell you one thing I do know. I know there are going to be a heap of things we've enjoyed down on earth God's going to have waiting for us, or God's going to bring them there to us. I know that. If God had given Samuel his coat, if God had given the Jews a little piece of furniture, I mean, look, I'm not talking about a gorgeous piece of furniture. I'm talking about a piece of wood that's bounced up and down all over the east and been captured and stolen. I'm talking about a piece of wood. And John said, there it is.
In heaven. I was in the Hall of Fame visiting in Canton, Ohio, National Football League Hall of Fame. And there were so many things there. The bat that this fellow Molitor plays third base for the Milwaukee carrot juicers. Not much to choose from this year, is there? But anyway, that the bat he used that night, they took that bat and they put it in the Hall of Fame. You reckon God may have the widow's mites up there? Don't you think maybe God wanted it would like for his children to see what those mites look like? You reckon maybe in heaven God has a little boy's lunch basket? I wouldn't be surprised. You reckon maybe he has Dwight Moody's Bible? Huh? You reckon he's got two pieces of wood that were made like a cross? You reckon Mother's Bible's there? Oh, how real heaven is. I don't get to eat in homes anymore. No time. Church is too big. I go on the road. I'll never eat in a home. Never will. Two reasons. One is, I get too fat. But two is, if I can't eat in your homes, I'm not going to eat anybody else's homes on the road. I'm not going to give people I don't pastor something I can't give my own people. But when I used to eat in homes, you know what we always had? Huh? We always had collard greens. Yeah. And fried okra. And squash. And black eyed. I ate in a banquet, spoke at a banquet the other night, and they served fresh black eyed peas. Fresh. So what did you eat? What else did you have? That's all I had. But it all fixed. And everything was fixed just right. You think God loves you less than people around the country love me? I have a lot of friends around the country. I have a lot of people that love me. A lot of people that used to go to church here and others who love me across the country. And they, like you, sort of spoil me. And I have an idea, if our church were small enough where I could come to your house and spend some time. I have an idea there are thousands of ladies in this room that love to make Brother Hiles just one batch of fried okra or collard greens. Years ago, I told you this little story. I was down in Norfolk, Virginia, preaching. And it was years ago. It's been night. About 1955 or 6. That's been 27 years ago. And we were sitting at the table. I stayed in a home. And we were sitting at the table. And we had collard greens. Pastor Dennis Hardison. And he had, I think, three or four kids. And there were two little boys. One named Truett, I remember. And we were sitting around the table. And so Mrs. Hardison said, "Son," said, "eat your collard greens." And they did. "Oh, Mama, can he have it?" Well, you know how they do. One little bite, you know. And then squeeze them together. Look like there's less left. She said, "Boys, children, eat your collard greens." And so they didn't. I leaned over to Pastor Hardison. I said, "They can't belong to the club, can they?" Well, he didn't know what I was talking about. He said, "No, they can't." I said, "That's too bad. They'll never be able to belong to the club." One of the boys said to the other and said, "What club?" I said, "Collard Greens International." "What's that?" I said, "It's an international club of boys eating collard greens. I just organized it. Had one member." And he said, "Well, what do you got to do to join it?" I said, "Well, you don't have a club here in this area. We can start one. A chapter right here." He said, "Let's do it." He said, "What do you got to do to join?" I said, "You got to eat your collard greens every meal." Boy, those three kids, they dove into that stuff. They ate them. All week long, they insisted the mother have collard greens. We had a meeting every day of the collard greens club. I was the president. And
We had a meeting, and so we had colors. You know, every school has colors. Ours were green and white. And then we had a cheer. Yay, green! Yay, white! Those e-colored greens can really fight! And we took minutes every meeting all week long, and those kids ate the collard greens. I was preaching out west, I think it was, a year or so ago. Big, tall, good-looking guy, about 6'2", walked up, bigger than I was, and looked down and said, "Dr. Howes, do you know me?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Yes, you do." I said, "No, I don't." I said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'll give you a hint." He said, "I am one of the charter members of the Collard Greens International Club." I looked up at the big old guy and I said, "Boy, see what they did for you?" Yeah. You know, this is on tape. It'll go around the world, all over the country. What I'm doing is I'm giving hints to people where I travel. But you know, the Lord Jesus says, "My people are going to come up here. My folks are going to come up here, and I want to fix up some nice things for them." I've got to believe what I'm preaching. It's got to be true. There's got to be a heaven. Don't tell me there's no place for a little woman to go who was killed in a car wreck, her preacher boy husband, heartbroken. Don't tell me God doesn't have some place for them. Don't tell me God doesn't have a place where men like Bill Salade go. And don't tell me that God is so impersonal we're going to have to put up with a bunch of white pillars up there all our lives. I think that heaven, and I'll close with this, I think that heaven is a real place. I think it's in the northern part. I think it's a planet. I think it's in the northern part of the planetary system. I think it's as real as Earth. I think that people live there in bodies and live in houses and walk down streets and fish in rivers. I think they have flesh. I think they can be seen and felt and touched. I think they laugh. And I'll say what I've said before. Pulpit. I am as convinced as I am that this pulpit is in front of me, that UFOs are real. And I think that the Lord just says, who wants to go down to earth and just look around today? And I think God has sent His people again and again down to earth. I sang a while ago, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. There are many things I want to do as your preacher. High on that list is I want to take away the fear of death from you. I want to take away that dread. I've got to die! Oh, I've got... I want to take it away from you. I don't want to die. I don't want to go through that ordeal. But I'll bind you one thing. 10 seconds after I'm gone, I'll be living in a city as real as this one. And my Heavenly Father, I believe, I expect heaven's choir has been rehearsing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Sing it. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. What a salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Sing it now. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. And the Lord will say, I got somebody I want you to meet. And the Lord will say, Fanny, sign Dr. Howes' Bible. And Fanny Crosby that wrote that song, Seeing with 20/20 Vision, will sign my Bible. And the Lord will say, now I want you to show you some other things. The Lord's going to say, Guess what I got for you? What you got? The Lord's going to say, carton of Reese peanut butter cup. You think the Lord loves me less than folks do in Albany, Georgia? No. Our Heavenly Father.